Well, good morning, everyone. Just want to just get a quick shout out to Kimo Walls. Pastor Kimo's heading a group to Hawaii from Life Pacific, a group of students to Wahiwa. So they're going to be a part of STN there. Those students have signed up. They're paying cold, hard cash to go have an experience. And way to go, Pastor Kimo. That's Friday on through the week, and so an excellent, excellent journey. Ainsley and I serve as associate chaplains on the campus and always impress what we hear. The Walls are making tremendous impact. Students do have challenges, don't they? But they're moving them beyond that to say, keep giving your life to Jesus. Don't let challenges cause you to stall out and become stagnant. So how perfect is that? And I hope that you were here Thursday night for our Night of Hope. You had a good flavor. So many of the Surfing the Nations alumnus were here. And so for Karis Iflin, she orchestrated having the founder of STN, which is Tom Bauer, her dad here, sister also, Carla Haynes. Amazing, well-attended, 50-50 split, 50% large group of Hope Chapel people, but also people from the community that don't attend or are part of other ministries. It was just great. Highlight for me, not only those guest speakers, but we had pastor from H2O Church come and lead worship, and it was outstanding, Pastor Kai. So shout out if any of you are watching today. Hey, we are taking our Bibles in hand. Do you have one? If not, if you raise your hand, we'll make sure the ushers will put one in your hand. We need a Bible and a bulletin. Bible and a bulletin. Did anybody get pinched today, being St. Patrick's Day? So anybody want to be pinched? You can't, you're single and you just want anybody to pinch you. This is the day. This is the day. Just, you know, I did not wear green intentionally. Lay it on me. No, I wore green. Here we go. Well, thank you, Zach, for praying for the message. We're in a series, Making a Difference. That is our series. That's our theme here at Hope Chapel. So we welcome you for the first timers. That's our series, but today we always like to have a fresh beginning of a message, and that really leads into this message, a fresh beginning. We are looking at Abraham's life, how God uses him, and his life has made a difference countless generations, and so how God works with him. So I'm excited we get a chance to see. We're in Genesis 17. So find a way to get to Genesis 17, verses 1 through 8. In Genesis 17, 1, we are picking it up. Abraham, or Abram at the time, he's 99 years of age. Whoa. So can anybody have a fresh beginning at 99 years of age? That's the takeaway today. So wherever you think it's like my time has passed, I've given it all, I'm done. Listen, God may visit you in these next few moments to say, no, you're not done. How many are here 99 years of age? You might feel that way, but you've got a lot of living left. But the word new for a 99-year-old person, that just doesn't quite fit, right? I mean, you just wouldn't kind of put, I mean, if you're 99, say, what's new lately? Maybe a new living trust? I don't know. Maybe new hearing aids or new dentures, but never a new car, and definitely never a new baby. You never say no or something like that, but it's fantastic. We take a look at ages, too. We deal with a lot of ages at time as humans, don't we? When a child's born, we kind of regulate the age and really deals with regards to maybe months. Well, they're really 17 months, 5 days, 4 hours. Oh, and as they get older, you come along and they say, oh, well, you know, they're really just 5.5 years. So it's important you get into half years. And then as we get older, I mean, people want to know how old we are. We really don't really want them to know. So we kind of like decade it. You know, I'm in my 30s. I'm close to 40. I'm in my 50s. So we kind of leave it that way. But just here we're exactly how old Abraham is. He's 99. Last verse we were at in chapter 16, the last verse he was, check it out with me, you turn the page, he's 86 years old. Next time God's going to speak to him, 13 years later, he's 99 years of age. I went and said, man, there's got to be some perks for being old. So I just want to throw it out there just to kind of highlight and say, well, don't go picking on us because, hey, there are perks for being 50 and above. For so many of you, you need to wait to get there. So here are some of the perks. Just want to throw it out there. First of all, kidnappers are no longer interested in you. Isn't that great? Huh? Just go on down the main street all you want. Also, people, when they call after 9 o'clock at night, they just say, hey, did I wake you up? Yes, you did. Don't call again. So another one is there's nothing left to learn when you're like up there. Been there, done that. That could be a little boring, so you got to invent your fun. Also, you can eat dinner like at 4 or earlier. Isn't that amazing? I think that's pretty good. All of a sudden, you start enjoying, I don't know about, but you start enjoying about other people's operations. Also, if you ever have a party when you're kind of like up there in years, it's good because, see, your neighbors never know you really had one. It's so quiet. Another perk is you don't really mind holding in your stomach, regardless of who's ever in the room. You just don't mind that. And you know that you're kind of getting up there because you're starting to sing to all the music in the elevator. And my best perk at being up there is that your secrets are safe because your friends just can't remember what you said. You could tell the same story. It's like, hey, that's a good one. I don't know if I heard that one before. So here we have a brand new beginning, really a fresh beginning for Abraham. And let's begin with verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. What's interesting here, fresh beginning for Abram. He is 99 years of age. He is probably, I don't know when God appeared to him exactly, he's probably walking down the sidewalk with his 13-year-old son Ishmael, thinking, hey, God said I'm going to be a multiplied nation, and it's going to come through Ishmael. But 13 years of silence, I just got to throw that out there. 13 years, that's 156 months, nothing from God. So just in case we have some new Christians here or listening to me, and they might think that, wow, Christianity is like one miraculous day after another. Man, I'm going to be one hyped up person every day. Listen, there's some lean times. You're walking by faith, not by sight. That's important. 13 years. He's saying, I've got my son. I'm good with that. I'm rolling with that. So it's important that we experience these new experiences of Abram with him. Let's look at these four. First of all, number one, a new revelation of God. Verse 1. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Whoa. Now that's interesting. Almighty God's first time this is mentioned, it's brought up 48 times in the Old Testament. This is the first time. Almighty God, El Shaddai. I am El Shaddai. Now, that's pretty fascinating. Why would God need to kind of bring on a new revelation of him? Well, it's probably pretty easy because, as you know, here you have Abram. He's thinking, man, I've got my kid. The promise is coming through him. And God's about ready to say, listen, you and your geriatric wife who's close to age, you're going to have a child between the two of you. I am El Shaddai. I'm going to do this thing. That's pretty impressive. What that is literally saying is, I am the most sufficient one. I can do anything I want. That's a revelation. I don't know if you've caught that yet. God can bust into your mainstream anytime, and he can manipulate anything, but he does want to work with you. It's really important that he works. He wants to. He hopes you'll invite him to your little world. But he's El Shaddai. And he starts to lay it out in verse 4. He starts using this term, as for me. And he uses the word, I will, 12 times in this. I will. I am about to do something. Lord, I guess you can do anything you want. El Shaddai. It's that reference like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. If you've ever seen that. Now unto him, it's that praise. Unto him who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to that power that's at work within us, the Holy Spirit. God can do anything. Here is a revelation coming, and you might need that revelation. A fresh beginning would be great for any one of us that says, I'm going it alone. I'm just barely here at church, and I just feel lonely and isolated and defeated. And man, have a revelation that El Shaddai wants to say, listen, what I promised you will still come. 13 years in the making of finally opens up, and it's a big deal. I like Job chapter 42, verse 2. Job says, I know you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. So that's pretty important. When we deal with this, Abram is starting to realize God's going to do something. And he's laying out that you and Sarah are going to have a child. Let's jump down to verse 15 just for a moment. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also you a son and give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And look at verse 18. He still wants Ishmael. He still wants his. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. You know, when you just really are walking it out 13 years, the child's 13, I'm good with this child. That's where he's going to come. You're set. Have you ever sat on something and say, that's how God's going to work? But he's not going to work that way. That's a shocker. I've had it all set. I'm kind of like done trusting for other children. Oh, that Ishmael would be the one. I don't know if you said, I want this to happen. So when we start seeing here, it's an amazing thing that, and God says, no, that is not going to be the way. Especially when any of us might say, God, this is enough. You promised this long ago. I've got what I need. Ishmael, God says, I've got more. I've got more. I hear God say, fresh beginnings, fresh beginnings. So whenever we're walking, we start to hear from the Lord. He sees everything. He sees everything. Especially when we're plotting and planning. I like Proverbs 5:21. It's a good one. Proverbs 5:21 says, the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. You never say, wow, just Lord, you see everything. I heard a story about this minister. He just dialed up a brand new CB radio, you know, walkie-talkie thing. And he's zeroing in. It's a powerful one. And he hears this trucker coming through his little town. And the trucker is dialing up a call girl that he knows. And he's listening to all this. And somehow the young lady didn't quite follow up with the trucker. And he said, well, honey, I guess I'll call you up next time I'm in town. So the minister jumped on that line and said, well, she may not have heard you, but God heard you. And the trucker said, well, I knew this CB had powerful radio signals, but I didn't know it was that powerful. You have power. God sees and hears everything. No thought, no direction. God sees everything. And He's just waiting. Sometimes he has to break in because he's got a new beginning for you. Number two, a new commission for Abram. Look at verse 1 again. I am Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Now, that's an amazing thing. Why all of us, 99 years of age, walk before me, be blameless? Why would he bring it up now? What does walk before me mean? What that signaling is, and I want you to always realize, whatever you do, however you do it, it's always with me first. You will always have these things, whatever, however you conduct your life, in what way you conduct your business, whatever choices you make, you're walking it out with me. That's what he said. Walk before me. Don't walk before the world. Don't walk before your family. You walk before me first. That's a new commission. I don't know if you ever laid it out with God like that. He heard you, because you're going to live your life, conduct your business, choices, everything. It's God first. Then he says, be blameless. What that refers to, some of you might have a translation that says, be perfect. Nobody's morally perfect, or we can't be perfect, but it's literally saying wholeheartedly, undividedly, be devoted to me. Don't vacillate. Don't be a lukewarm Christian. Walk with me. Be blameless. That's an amazing thing. See, a lot of times we've got to realize, often we'll deal with Christians saying, hey, be ready, man. You're witnessing out there to these unbelievers. So the eyes of those people out there, they're watching what you're doing, how you're handling yourself, how you're dealing with that, what substance you're into lately. It's important. But he's saying, walk before me. My eyes are on you. I like that term. I want to walk with God. That's usually that term, isn't it? It's like, hey, man, how's your walk with God lately? Which means, are you being obedient? Are you jumping ship? How's your walk? Oh, yeah, man, I'm still believing. No, whatever he says, does it go? That's important. Remember when King Hezekiah, God just had the prophet Isaiah come in and says, hey, get your house in order because you're going to die, baby. And Hezekiah says, wow. And he said this, it's in 2 Kings 20, Verse 3, he's praying this, says, Lord, I have walked before you faithfully with a wholehearted devotion. So same thing he's asking Abram, walk before me. Everything you do, realize it's you and me, bub, and be blameless. Wow. So it's interesting. We can't say that Abram has been blameless. I mean, we remember when we first started this journey with Abraham. Remember, he was supposed to go to Canaan, stopped off at Haran for about 12 years, and his dad passes away, finally gets to Canaan. There's a famine hits the land, and he says, I'm out of here. I'm going to Egypt. Nobody said to go to Egypt. While he's down there, then he lies to Pharaoh. She's actually not my wife, she's my sister. Then they kind of panic and they come up with this idea, why don't you use my servant girl and we'll have children through her? We were just there. So he's not perfect. Walk before me, be blameless. Now, what I like about this, I just bring that up to just signal, I like how the Lord does not bring up his past. I just brought it up to you, but he didn't. He just says, walk before me and be blameless. I'm El Shaddai. See, that's the way God rolls. I don't know. You might bring things up about yourself or somebody else. God doesn't. And there's something that's really sweet about God, because he never brings up past failures, never brings up. And if it does, it's for the sake of just restoration and healing. Even when Peter, remember the denier three times and then the rooster crows? When Jesus resurrects and after that, He comes and presents himself to the disciples, Peter being one, and John 21, 15. Remember, that's where Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? I bring that up because even Jesus, and that's really why I just want to turn people on to Jesus a lot. Because Jesus never brings up our past. He's only here to restore us and to forgive us of our many sins. But he comes to Peter, and the first thing out of his mouth was not, hey, I'm back from this resurrection, Peter, to say, hey, thank you for denying me three times. I just back here telling, and oh, hey, yeah, and the rest of you disciples, thanks a lot for running away from me when I'm arrested. Not that I'm going to hold it over you, I just want to remind you. That's kind of how I would. It's like, man, I just wish you'd kind of feel the pain I was in. But he doesn't. He asks Peter, do you love me? And Peter, you know, yes, Lord, I do. And he asks him again, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things and feed my sheep. You know what I love about Jesus is really this, about God. He never brings up our past. He just, though we're riddled with mistakes, full of failures, if he knows you love him, he knows you're going to be okay. That's what he's asking Pete. Pete, if you love me, you're a bumbler, you're a stumbler. But if you love me, you'll be okay. Do you love Jesus? You'll be all right. You'll be all right. It's the first big command. Love God with all your heart. Never brings up the past. God is the God of second chances, third chances, 80th chances. Never stay down. Keep getting up. Never. God does not go by the three-strike law. Aren't you glad? It's just the love of God. God's kind of love. It's the 1 Corinthians 13, isn't it? Remember that? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. That love thinks no evil. Love, like we're talking about, God's love keeps no record of wrong. That's love. I don't have that kind of love. I'd like to get there, get close to God. A husband and wife went to the counselor, and he was complaining, felt his problem was that every time they get into an argument or a fight, his wife gets all historical on them. And the counselor chuckled and said, you mean hysterical? No, historical. She brings up everything I did. That's how it is sometimes with us. So there's a principle here. And this guy is 99 years of age, and God's now visiting him with fresh revelation. Be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. So please don't ever think that age is a factor. Moses was called at age 80 to deliver Israelites from bondage. Caleb, when he kicked it up a notch, said, I'm going to take that mountain and claim my inheritance. He's 85 years of age. Man, come on. Fresh beginnings. So capable. Golda Meir was prime minister of Israel at age 71. Ronald Reagan finished his presidency at age 77. We could go on down the line. I mean, what? Come on. Fresh beginnings can happen when the power of God comes on a person. Benjamin Franklin, he's framer of the Constitution, was 81. Abraham is 99 years of age. And he says, God says, guess what? You're going to have a child. Because I'm El Shaddai. Sure is nice to get close enough to God so you can hear him, just like we practiced today. Number three, a new designation for Abraham. Look at verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, now, Abraham fell on his face and word. That's a whole other line we could talk about submission. Have you ever seen a 99-year-old person fall on their face? That's got to hurt. Huh? Some saying can't even get up, let alone get down. That's verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Now, that's interesting because a new name signals a new destination. It's an amazing thing here. New name. I mean, the Christians in India always rename their Christians after they get out of water baptism. Early Puritans always did the same. We know Jesus renamed Simon. You are now Peter. That's just the way it is. And he's naming Abram, which is exalted father. He probably thought, hey, this is great. Abram is thinking, I no longer have to explain myself when they say, hey, look, you are the exalted father. Where are your kids? You're like 83. Now he has a child, but God says, I'm going to ratchet it up. And you are now Abraham, which means really a father of multitude or a father of many nations. That's pretty fantastic. Why the name change? I think the Ishmael situation was more Abram and Sarai's doing. And God says, no, I'm going to do it. So now you are Abraham, and this is now going to be my doing. And from this child I'm going to give you comes the multitude. And Sarah has a name change too. Look at verse 15. We read it earlier. Verse 15, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. And then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Now, Sarai means contentious. Interesting, huh? I don't know what their parents were thinking when they named, my child's contentious. Maybe it was a long labor. I don't know, but it means also domineering. But Sarah means princess. From contentious to princess. Love that, the way God starts to roll out new beginnings, regardless of age, regardless of age. I would much rather have a princess than a contentious woman, wouldn't you? Proverbs 21:9. 21:9 of Proverbs says, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than share it with a contentious woman. I just want to throw that out there. So we see here, it is important for us this morning as we take a look to always remember and to really walk with God. Be willing to change. Don't be stagnant. Be progressive. God starts changing this couple, their name, their outlook, their expectation. Fresh beginning starts to take place. Isn't God in the New Testament, the one in his word, 2 Corinthians 5:17? Doesn't he say, behold, I make all things new? Wouldn't it be terrible if you were the one that says, I'm not going to budge anymore, I'm not going to change anymore, I don't want to do anything? I don't care how good that person is speaking, how much they challenge me, whatever they're doing. You really cannot hear from the Lord unless you are progressing with his spirit. And number four, a new declaration. I think it's fascinating where in verse 6 he says, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful and will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Verse 8, he says, and I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. We talked about that. All of the Middle East is Israel's. It's going to be primarily in the millennial kingdom when Jesus sets it up right there in Jerusalem, that new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. There'll be the ultimate fulfillment, but that land is Israel's. And my covenant, God says, want to just invite you to close your Bible and, if you're able to, stand with me. 9 times in this chapter, God says, my covenant I'm going to make with you. 9 times. It's kind of like when kids go off to summer camps, they recommit their lives to the Lord. Like some of us sometimes, we rededicate our lives to the Lord. It's always important. Never does God lay out our failures. Even Sarai, becoming Sarah, in Scripture, she's never brought up. None of her failings are brought up. God's beautiful that way. Never does it mention in the New Testament Abraham's failures. There's a great way that God wants to just work with us. And it always starts by approaching Him. And if you're in the midst of any form of a battle, sometimes that battle is, does God want me to do this? Does God really care? Am I just free to do whatever? You're in the midst of a battle. It's like, is God going to be Lord, or are you going to be the one that's going to be the Lord? Be great, just even as we sing this song, and just say, Lord, I want you to be the one that handles the situation even now. We're going to sing this song. Let me pray with you, and we'll be right back as we wrap things up this morning.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded.
Can we lift our hands?
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Again.
This is how I fight my...
2019.
This is how I fight my battles every day. My battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Well, friends, as I am ready to dismiss you, Scripture is so clear. Reference in Psalms, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. These areas of just surrender are so significant, and we cite how the verses of God's promise, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But you're the invite, you're the inviter. You are the one that will say, Lord, I invite you into my situations. And the raising of the hands, as we know, sometimes is a signal of just surrender. And then the real battle takes place when God, in the heavenlies, because there's a war going on over your head, you know that. How that just angels that are innumerable, and it's over the souls of men. May God put in your heart a heart for lost men and women. Lord, stir something in me. May it not just be about me, but may my victories become someone else's victory. And as we say, Lord, you are Lord, great things start to happen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.